Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Adairs Limited Company Update. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mark Ronan, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Firstly, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on the call today. And with me is our CFO, Ashley Gardner, and our Head of Investor Relations, Jamie Adamson. We're excited today to announce the acquisition of Focus on Furniture, a vertically integrated omni-channel furniture retailer operating in Australia for an enterprise value of 80 million on a debt-free basis. Focus is a strongly profitable furniture retailer currently operating 23 stores together with a growing online business. In line with our retail philosophy, Focus is a vertically integrated business with all product design and development done in-house in Melbourne, allowing them to deliver a strong collection of well-designed, functional, and on-trend home furniture and bedding. As with our Adairs and Mocka brands, the business targets middle market Australia who are looking for quality product at a good price. The acquisition of Focus has strong strategic alignment to our business model and retail philosophy. Focus operates an omni-channel model and owns their customer directly through their stores and online businesses. As a vertically integrated business, Focus control the design and sourcing process of the majority of their products, which enables it to provide a value for money proposition with strong gross margins. And we look to provide customers with well-designed quality product at a good value price point and in an environment that is customer-centric. Given this strategic alignment, Focus is a strong strategic fit for the group and significantly expands our presence in home furniture, building upon a portfolio of brands that target the Australian and New Zealand home furnishings and furniture middle market. When we think about an acquisition at Adairs, we've always thought about an important part of that is a strong growth profile. And in Focus, we have a number of growth initiatives to deliver that growth over the coming years. I quickly talk to those, including store rollout. We have 23 stores today and there is a significant potential to expand this network to 50 to 60 profitable stores across Australia over the coming years, with our initial focus being the Eastern Seaboard, including New South Wales and Queensland. Online growth. The Focus online channel is relatively new and has performed strongly to date with minimal investment. With additional resources, we see a great growth opportunity coming from online as it works in conjunction with expanding our store portfolio. And complementing both of these strategies will be our brand awareness. We know that as we roll out new stores and build upon the digital experience, we will have to increase our investment in brand to build upon the customer awareness of the great brand Focus is. And these three strategies together will lead to driving share growth in the coming years. Complementing this will be our in-store experience. And as with Adairs, one of the things we really like about the Focus business is the in-store experience is critical to the execution of our business plans. We will look to continuously improve our store format and look to make some changes in the short term and then continue to invest in the store team who ultimately deliver a great customer experience in the Focus stores and something we will continue to build upon. We also understand range expansion and we look forward to expanding the range and great opportunity in the short term in terms of home decorator and soft furnishing items that complement the Focus on Furniture offer. And then as we start to look into other categories, occasional furniture as well as other stuff such as outdoor and the like that will continue to complement the range that Focus delivers today. The Australian home furniture market is large with estimated annual sales of more than $8.3 billion, with Focus today being a very small player in this large market. Focus has historically delivered stable sales and earnings numbers and like many retailers, did a great job of capitalising on the impact of COVID-19 over the course of the FY21 year. As part of our due diligence, we have looked to estimate the impact of COVID-19 and believe a sustainable sales base of $125 million and earnings of between $12 and $14 million is what we will grow the business from. Importantly, to deliver these growth initiatives, the management team are continuing and are excited by the opportunity ahead. The acquisition of Focus brings significant expertise and existing infrastructure to the group around design and sourcing of larger furniture items, furniture retailing itself, and importantly, supply chain logistics and last mile delivery. Focus will continue to operate independently with the group providing support across a range of areas to help de-risk and accelerate our growth plans. With multiple levers for growth, a strong strategic fit, and a great management team, we're excited to welcome Focus to the Adairs Group and know that together we can continue to truly build a great business. I'll now hand over to Ash, who will walk through the transaction details in more detail.
Thanks, Mark, and good morning, everyone. As Mark said, the purchase price for Focus is based on enterprise value of $80 million on a debt-free basis. We will be acquiring $5 million of cash when completion occurs. We'll be funding the transaction through a combination of equity and equity placement with the current CEO and majority shareholder of $6 million, and then the balance through existing and new debt facilities. We have got a new debt facility of $45 million, which will extend through until for 3 years, which is extended beyond the current expiry of our existing facilities. From an overall valuation perspective, we expect the business to be EPS accretive virtually immediately, and that will continue. We don't expect to change our dividend policy, which will remain between 65 and 80%. And from a leverage perspective, we have plenty of headroom on our covenants post acquisition and don't anticipate any issues there. On that basis, we might open the lines for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Apoorv Sehgal with UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for the call and taking my questions. First, on just on the sustainable EBIT margins, it's about 9.6 to 11.2% based on that sustainable revenue and just a sustainable EBIT range you gave. That's well below the Adairs brand, which is sort of in the mid to high teens normally. Given that, Mark, you described gross margins to be strong, is the delta there on the cost base? And I guess, is there an opportunity, therefore, to lift those margins to Focus?
I think there's a combination of levers. When we think about that sustainable earnings base, that's based on a historical running of the business when we look at it that way. So we think we can grow EBIT margins over time, and that'll feed through a number of levers. So you think about store rollout, that will naturally, their store contribution margins, let's say they average 25%. So as we roll out more stores and leverage the overlying infrastructure of the group and the support office team, we'll see that EBIT margin look to improve. Equally, we think there is opportunity in gross margin and some other elements of the business to move the EBIT margin up. But if we think about it from a historical perspective, that 10 to 12% has been where the business has historically traded, and therefore that's the EBIT margin that we've portrayed in these figures in relation to a sustainable EBIT margin. So, you know, that's not allowing for the work that we see going forward and the opportunities that are out there in terms of growing that EBIT margin, but we wanted to anchor it in the short term. There'll be an element where that's about where it sits and it'll grow over time.
Got it. Okay. And maybe one sustainable sales of 125, just to clarify, would that be slightly lower in FY22 just given the lockdowns in the first half, or have you sort of taken that into account?
We've taken that into account.
Yeah, okay. And just one final question. We'd just love to hear from you sort of the key points of differentiation versus some of the peers in the space. You showed on slide 11, I think, a number of peers like Nick Scali, Plush,
yep,
et cetera. Just your thoughts on what makes Focus different?
Yeah. So I think the beauty for Focus and how it plays into that market is if we think middle market, and I think about the space altogether, you've got the guys at the top, Coco, King, these sorts of brands that live at a higher price point. I think Scali fits sort of between them and Focus. You know, Focus is definitely a better value price point day in, day out than Scali is, and really competes more with, I guess, the middle part of the Harvey Norman model. You know, Harveys have a high end, and they also have a bit below where Focus sit, and equally Freedom. So if I think about those larger national type chains, you know, there's no doubt that Focus sits in the middle there and is competing day to day with the likes of Freedom, Harvey Norman, Scali to a lesser degree, your Oz Designs and the like, all in that sort of space.
And sits above then your, I think, your Fantastic Furnitures and IKEA and even Amart. So we're sort of genuine middle market. Our go-to-market proposition as a brand comes back a bit to quality of the product, design and on-trend. So if you think about, we aim to be a bit more on-trend, I think, than some of the others. Largely, I would say, you know, Freedom do a good job of that as well. So we're going to go toe-to-toe with Freedom day in, day out. But the piece here that we then start to play out is, I think, as a brand, sofas are the biggest part of the business. That's what we are really good at, and we'll continue to complement that with the ranges around it. And that fashion on trend, but really functional product as well. So, you know, we like to think about when the guys put together a product range at Focus, and you think about sofas in particular, we're very, very, okay, you keep using the word focus, but we are very focused on how the product comes together, the comfort of that product. So they're not only thinking about it from a fashion and trend and the right fabrications and the element and how trends are moving, but then it also a high degree of comfort. It needs to be highly functional, and then we compete on, I think, on price. So realistically, we're aiming to be better value, similar quality, better value than a lot of those competitors in that space. And that doesn't mean big discounts and big percentage off. What it actually means is developing a really good quality range with an element of off-price, as we all know, sort of sits within the furniture space. So that would be my two big call-outs. It comes back to that on-trend piece and really good quality at a good price.
Very good. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Aryan Norozi with Barrenjoey. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hope you're well. A few quick ones for me, please. Just the difference between the $12 to $14 million of EBIT and the $33 was actually reported. So you've obviously taken out the COVID sales benefit from it in incremental margin. What about other benefits like JobKeeper and other sustainable things that are added? Can you just give us an idea on the bridge between the two, please?
There's no JobKeeper in the FY21 actual. That's really taking a view on the historic rate of sales growth and the historic margin and sort of bringing them back in line with where they were. So it's a combination of sales and margin adjustments.
Yes.
The profit effect is a bit more disproportionate.
Perfect. And then FY20, was there any JobKeeper in that, and how much was it, please?
No.
No JobKeeper?
No JobKeeper.
No. Okay, so fiscal 20 is a pretty clean number in terms of sales and profit. Is that fair?
Well, with the exception of, we all know that come April, March, April of that year, stores closed.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's an element where it's probably slightly, I would have thought they would have traded a bit better than that overall, but they got a lot of it back. So we're not talking, 20% down in that year. It's probably more like 5 to 10 over that last quarter.
Yeah, perfect. And just in terms of, like, the ASIC, there's not a lot of ASIC accounts for FY18 and 17, but if I look at sort of fiscal 13 or 16, it seems pretty consistent around that sort of 9 to 11% range margin, and then FY19, it dipped down to 6%. Was there anything, was it just the weaker housing market and operating deleverage, or what drove that weaker margin and that sort of step change from 6 to 10%, please?
Yeah, so in the history of the business is in FY17, Rob initially sold out to a group that were doing a roll-up and it became part of a larger group. And in FY19, what you're seeing is that the business coming out of VA, which so those guys effectively ran a big strategy that online was going to be the future, took all the cash that Focus and some other brands were throwing off and poured it into online and digital, and forgot that you still need stock and the like to actually continue the businesses on the other side. So that lower margin really reflects the lower sales over that period and some payments made as they came out of VA and to put the business back right, investments in working capital, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a historically abnormal sort of number, and if you've gone back further, as you mentioned there, We've seen, you know, prior to that and historically, that 10 to 12% is traditionally where it is, and that's where we think, you know, acquiring a business like this, we've got a really solid, strong, stable earnings base that with some store rollout and the like gives us great opportunity for growth going forward.
Yeah, perfect. And last one, just in terms of the model, so, I mean, something like a scale is you've got an order book and then you draw down on the order book and that drives the revenue. So for these, for Focus On, is there a sort of order book perspective? And so would the stronger order book drive revenue growth for the next 12, 18 months, or is it pretty, it's not made to order and it's just is what it is?
So they have an order book similar to Scali, but the lead times are nothing like that. So they have more. They do have stock that is made to order, but they really try to be more in stock, and therefore your delivery times are, you know, the targeted. The average probably 6 weeks, but you know, there's stuff that's 2 weeks and stuff that pushes out to 10 to 12 weeks. But you know, the real sweet spot is to try and get the be in stock and get customer deliveries to them within sort of 2 to 6 weeks of the order being placed. So the order book isn't as long because of that.
Okay, so the order, there's no big difference between your order book and your revenue that you're banking each period. So we shouldn't expect a big uplift in revenue to make up for your order book. Is that fair?
Well, the order book's rolling continuously with 6 to 8 weeks worth of sales in it. So if the business is growing at 15%, then the 15% will be in the order book on top of the sales moving forward. If the business is flat, then the order book and the realised sales will be the same.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Wilson Wong with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Can you just provide some details just around the impact of the lockdowns on sales in, I guess, in FY22 year-to-date, and then sort of how the trading has been sort of post-reopening?
Look, I think the no doubt when you've got 15 of 23 stores in Victoria, it's had a relatively significant impact over that 10 to 13 weeks of true lockdown. But we've been really pleased and excited to see the sort of sales that actually came out of the stores offering the call and collect model. But they probably were at times less than half their normal average weekly sales with that sort of store network closed. And reopening has been strong. You know, they've bounced back really quickly. Probably, you know, the beauty of having both the businesses being able to line up our Victorian sort of numbers, we've seen similar strength in Focus as we've seen at Adairs, and now that's starting to head back towards a more normal run rate now that we're 4 or 5 weeks into to that reopening phase in Victorian retail. So, you know, we've seen good, strong sales growth as they've come out of lockdown, which makes up for a portion of the period that they were closed for.
Right. And are you able to disclose the gross margin of the business in FY21 and actually FY20 as well?
Well, as we look forward, we sort of, the gross margin before delivery cost is sort of low 50s. Then there's delivery costs, and then you've got your running costs, which, you know, so store contribution sort of circa 20 to 25%, and then you've got overheads after that.
Right. And just the final one from me, just around, just more broadly speaking, just your strategy. So how's sort of the strategy around the growing the online sales mix sort of changed, I guess, with this acquisition? I guess with acquiring a primary bricks and mortar retailer, it seems to be sort of changing tack from the previous sort of pure online retail acquisition.
Well, I think it's more in line with our stated strategy, which is all about omnichannel wins. So we're firm believers in omnichannel, and that's included. You know, there's lots of conversation thinking about how does Mocha have some sort of physical store presence, which allows customers to touch and feel and experience the product. So we think there's great online growth potential in Focus, but we also know in this larger category, we believe, and have done a reasonable amount of work, that the customers like to experience that ability to touch, feel, sit on, sit at this sort of larger furniture item, particularly in these investment type pieces. I mean, one of the big differences between this business and our existing businesses is moves towards an 1800 average transaction value versus, you know, Adairs at circa 150 and Mocha, you know, between 150 and 200 depending on market and time of year. So, you know, when we think about that, we think more and more that in this space, and you know, we were very keen to make sure we built out the group and really targeted the full home furnishings and furniture market. And in acquiring Focus, we've got a brand that has great potential for rolling out stores, but equally we think there's a big online piece. And the beauty of it, getting it at such a stage of its growth cycle, you know, we've got 23 stores in place today. We see the opportunity to turn those stores into omni-channel showrooms more so as we start to roll them out versus necessarily being a traditional furniture retailer of, you know, big space, lots of couches, walk around. How do we make that a little more interactive? How do we bring online into the sales experience more and more are things that we've been talking through with the guys and thinking about how that plays out. So I think as a group, you know, we've been very focused on omni-channel retail being that wins. And over time, you know, we sort of see that, you know, online might capture 30 to 35% of the home furnishings and furniture market, which means there's a big piece of the market that's going to continue to be done in stores. And Focus allows us to not only access that, but also start to build out our capability to deliver last mile really well from an online perspective as well as the store portfolio broadens and we put our boots in the ground in terms of other states that allows us to really offer a heightened online experience when you can start to get delivery quicker, faster, more efficiently, utilising a strong store network and property portfolio that enables that to come to fruition. So I don't think we've changed our view on online. I think we're continuing our view on omnichannel and this starts to play into how we think about executing that going forward.
Just to clarify, what percentage of Focus's revenue is actually online at the moment, and you expect that to sort of stay stable or sort of grow meaningfully over time?
Yeah, I think so. Currently, it's sort of 12% or thereabouts. But obviously, you know, with majority of stores in Victoria and Victoria being closed, stores closed for so long, that's artificially inflated, probably double what it should be. So we think it'll come back to sort of circa 6%. And then we'll build it out over time to 10 as we continue to grow stores. So we'd still see it growing at, you know, far faster rate than the store network, store sales, like-for-like sales. You know, and if it settles at 10 to 12% over the next 3 to 4 years, you know, we'd be happy with that, you know, on the basis that we've also, you know, grown the like-for-like stores and expanded the state of stores.
And equally, I think as we start to think about it, the other opportunity this brings us is if the customer moves that way faster, we've now got a channel that allows us to execute on that, and it won't stop us investing. And that's always been our philosophy, is not move ahead of the customer, but move with the customer. Yeah. And build out our store portfolio, both at Adairs, now with Focus and equally Mocha, to complement an all-round customer experience.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mark Wade with CLSA. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. It seems like a cracking deal. I'm just trying to think, is there a catch? I mean, why would these owners sell out at what seems to be such a undemanding valuation?
Well, can you not tell Rob that? no, Mark, I think the piece here is we've been working with these guys for a significant period of time now and largely, you know, working through the strategy, building a relationship with the management team. And I think the reason the deal is what it is because in partnering with Rob and his team, they're really confident that we have the same vision for delivering Focus to the business that it can be that they have. And they wanted to partner with people that complemented what they were going to do, saw what Focus was capable of, and we're there to help them deliver on that, and therefore weren't sitting here thinking, well, I need to be greedy on day one and sell at a really high multiple and all the rest of that sort of philosophy. So, you know, that's been one of our challenges, and you know, many of you on this call will have spoken to us over the last 12 months, and I've regularly said every homewares business in Australia is currently for sale if you're prepared to pay a multiple of FY21. And these guys were very realistic, and we were already talking to them before the end of FY21. We've spent a lot of time with them, and this is really about cementing a partnership with these guys in how we're going to go to market together, and what we bring to the deal and what they bring to the deal, and the sum of the parts really allowing them to be the business they want to be. So, you know, I think it is a, it is, there's no doubt we think it's a well-priced deal and very fair. And, you know, we've always said the challenge over the last couple of years is how, what is that normalised, what is that stable base, earnings base? I mean, who really knows? We've done as much work as we can and tried to give, obviously, you guys guidance as to what that is. But, you know, it's a fair deal and a great opportunity for the management team there to, with our support, to execute what they think Focus can become.
And Mark, why wouldn't you put some handcuffs on them in terms of like earnouts, like as you did for Mocha?
Well, I think I learnt through the Mocha deal that earnouts can be helpful and they can hinder. Mm. And we didn't want to necessarily go down that path this time. We preferred, you know, Rob investing alongside us and putting some of that equity back in is really exciting for us. That gives him the opportunity to share in the upside. But means that we're not constraining the business from a growth perspective. You know, you think about as we roll out, and as we roll out stores up the Eastern Seaboard, we're going to need to invest in distribution centres and the like alongside those stores to enable that customer experience to come to fruition. So with that in mind, we were particularly mindful of things like earnout in terms of this deal, because often that means you've got to invest ahead of time, and then how do you factor that into the earnings of that particular year versus... And what we wanted to make sure of is that we understood the growth strategy, we controlled the capital allocation and we could control the earnings rate and the way that rolled out, and we could work together to deliver that, and we didn't have people working on different time horizons, short versus medium versus long. And so that's where we got to, and I think we've really, and I think it also comes back to the price is very fair. You know, it's not based on a future earnings that they're promising to deliver. It's based on a historical run rate of this business. So therefore, we felt comfortable that with a fair price, we didn't need to think about earnouts, and we can incentivise the team to deliver via more standard employee-type metrics.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, fair enough. Seems a bit cleaner. And lastly, any reflection on the, what this deal means for the core business? You know, does it mean you're more... You know, I guess you're more upbeat about the outlook for the core business, or is it, you know, or is it perhaps the opposite? You know, where you think it might be falling away a little bit quicker at the edges than you would have thought.
Oh no, I don't think it has any real impact on the core business. I'm excited by the fact that as a group now we really have a complete product offering in home furnishings and furniture. I think we have now within the Mocha, Adairs, and Focus businesses, you know, a customer could largely furnish their entire home. And that, for me, when I think about where we want to go as a group and how we wanted to really approach the market and how we think about the different customer experiences and journeys amongst each of those brands, that all really makes sense to me. You know, I think about it's a very different customer experience going into Focus to buy a couch or a dining table than it is to come to Adairs and buy some bed linen or some cushions and throws. So, you know, I think... what we've done here with this acquisition is rounded out the group and allowed us to go after the whole market across our different brands. It's allowed us now to focus clearly that this is where we're going to do furniture, so it takes out a bit of noise in the Adairs business. You know, what we will still have a furniture range within the Adairs brand, but that will be very much focused towards on-trend, a bit more fashionable, a bit more unique, and we can play around with that. We're not having to think about, well, how do we do couches for the cushions that sit on? No, we've got a brand that does that. And equally, we can start to think about, is there some more cross-promotional stuff within the brands and even product moving between the brands? I think that Focus really gives us that opportunity because of its similar price point and market positioning. I think we're going to push it up slightly in terms of look and feel, but not so much price point. And those two sitting alongside each other, Adairs and Focus, and then adding Mocha in as that opportunity, particularly when we hit some, you know, different styles of customer, inner city, a bit more apartment living, smaller items, those elements. I mean, that's really a sweet spot for Mocha. I think we now start to really have the opportunity to go after the whole market across these brands. So I think naturally in time it becomes quite complementary, the three businesses all working together with a view to how we go to market, and that, as I said, it stops a bit of noise within Adairs, and Adairs trying to be all things to all people. It really allows Adairs to not so much stick to its knitting and remove any range expansion strategies we've got, but really understand who Adairs' customer is, the Mocha customer is, and the focus customer, and they will cross over across those brands, but often that'll be for a different purpose, and we can go after them based on that purpose.
All right, well, great insights, great deal, so congratulations, and hope it goes well.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one. Your next question comes from James Casey with Ords. Please go ahead.
Oh, morning, guys. I just missed the start of the call, so apologies up front for that. Just the last statement on the front page, you talk about Focus operating independently of Adairs. How is that functionally going to work? Is this a separate business unit? Who will set their CapEx budget? How is it all going to function within Adairs?
Yeah, so what we mean by that is operationally and to go after the strategic plan, we will have a management team within the Focus business, and they exist today. The same management team that's got it to this point will be there to deliver on those underlying strategies. So as part of a normal, you know, annual process, we run budgets, we run the how does that tie back to strategy, capital allocation is done at that point across all of our businesses and brands. So, you know, there's an allocation piece that that occurs at that time, and therefore once we've got through that process, then the business is free to go and deliver against that. I think when I think about Focus, we have that as an overarching philosophy. We want the go-to-market, the customer, the product, and the marketing to be really concentrated within the management team so they completely own that piece. Then they get the support of the likes of Ash, myself, as to thinking about the strategy, how do we execute it, who do we introduce them to, how do we pull that back together. We think about property. Property is probably something that will be centralised. You know, the last thing we want is, you know, having leasing executives across brands going after the same space and bidding up rental rates. So what we'll do there is Michael Cherubino, who many of you will have met over the years as our property lead, will actually look after both brands, and we'll add some extra resource in to make sure that you know, nothing slips through the cracks there. So I think there's we state that on delivering the strategy and executing, but what Adairs, the group, brings to these sorts of businesses is that support network and structure. I think about all sorts of corporate governance, risk, things like modern slavery and all of those elements. We centralise pieces of that to make sure we're consistent across the group. But when we think about how do we go to market, who are we contacting as customers, how do we do that, we really want the management team to own that, and that's how we think about it running independently.
Okay. And just one follow-up. The store locations, some of them are obviously regional. You've kind of inferred there's going to be a subtle repositioning of the business, more to an on-trend, if you like, market position. Is that going to be consistent with kind of those regional stores?
Yeah, I think so, James. I mean, as you say, I think the right word in there is subtle. This isn't about fundamentally changing this business. It's a good business. It's got a really solid base. And it's about complementing it as opposed to fundamentally changing it. At the end of the day, one thing I've learned a lot about over the last 6, 9, 12 months working with these guys, sell a lot of great couches. So, you know, you need that fundamental core will remain. And within this business, we can easily think about what range is where. So that doesn't, you know, we can run a greater core range when we start to think about regional. You know, the hot pink couch may not work in Shepparton, but might be all the rage in I don't know, somewhere else. I'll think of a store name, Moorabbin. Let's insult our friends at Moorabbin. So we can, when you think about the store mix and the store portfolio and the product within those stores, you know, clearly within a Focus store, a bit like an Adairs store and almost any retailer today, you don't have the full range on offer in every store. And as this is a delivery model, you're not sitting there thinking about cash and carry and I need to have the hot pink couch in there just in case someone walks in to buy it today. What we can do is to obviously sell that through there, and so we can get a bit more of a mix of product on the floor to suit the customer demographic of that area. And that's something that we'll have the luxury of doing within Focus, and it'll be something that we focus on as we deliver the store rollout strategy. We won't just be, you know, same thing for everybody. There'll be consistency in our range, but we're at the edges. We'll be able to make sure we curate that to that customer group.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Matt Parker with AusCap. Please go ahead.
G'day, team, and again, congrats on the acquisition. But touch on it a little bit earlier, just with the process you went through, was it an exclusive process in the end? Can I read through that? And, you know, through your dealings with them, how have you perceived their culture, and is it a good fit for your current culture over there?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we ever had an exclusive piece, but I would argue that the great thing about the work we've done with them is we've invested significant time in the due diligence process in thinking about the strategy, those growth initiatives that you'll see in the deck, working with the focus management team on building that. That's not something necessarily as a relatively small business that, you know, it wasn't like we rolled in and they had a hot, here's the growth plan, here's this, and this is how we roll it out. What we've done over the last 6 months in particular is work through, right, well, how do we do this? Where do you think it can go? How do we build this out? What are our options? Let's work through that together. Let's build a document together that we all believe in. And then, you know, obviously for the management team there, then they've got the opportunity to execute on that. And, you know, I think that's been it's been a great process. I think it's been financial and legal DD is always important. But ultimately here we're building a partnership with a management team who we think are highly capable of delivering what Focus can become. And so that, I think you can naturally infer from that in terms of cultural fit, you know, we think these guys, they love products, they demand customer experience is good. There's some areas, you know, they want feedback from me and Ash and, you know, what are we doing well? What can we improve on? What do you see when you walk into store? What do I see when I go online? What are the opportunities? You know, so they've got a real continuous improvement, how do we be better, how do we get to what we're really capable of type of attitude, which I think sits really comfortably with Adairs in terms of how we think about going to market as well, both for our customer piece and equally within our team, within our business. So, you know, culturally, I think that's the exciting piece as much as anything for me. Not only have we bought a really good business, we've got a great management team who I think are highly capable, and we've got a really strong set of growth levers that we can work our way through for multiple years to really build this business into the business it can become. So, you know, all of those things see for me, then you can line up all the transaction metrics and all the rest of it on the back end of that. But if you haven't got those first three, it's not worth progressing. And I think that's the exciting piece.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Your next question is a follow-up from a Paul Siegel with UBS. Please go ahead.
Oh, thanks, guys, for taking my follow-up question. Just on the rollout, will the new stores likely be at a smaller size versus your current space average for Focus? Just the context is you made some comments around having more of an omni-channel showroom type of approach rather than the traditional big space furniture retailer.
Yeah, I think we see 1,800 metres as about the sweet spot for a Focus store. So when we think about range expansion, omni-channel, all of those things, what we're not suggesting is to roll out range expansion, we need to move the stores to 3,500 metres to fit in a whole bunch of extra product. What we think about is over time, that range expansion will work within that 1,800 square metres and deliver a higher rate of sales per square metre and a higher rate of sales per rent dollar as we start to think about those two elements. So I don't think they fundamentally get smaller than they are today. I think when I think about that showrooming, it's more about experience and how you start to link the digital experience to the in-store experience as opposed to necessarily space, because I still think it's important. You know, a lot of Australians spend a lot of time sitting on their couch, watching the telly, you know, interacting with friends, doing all these sorts of things. It's a big part of a family home. So making sure that they've got the ability to actually sit on the couch that they're gonna get in their home at a point in time. And as Ash mentioned, you know, aiming at that 2 to 6 week window is an important part of the shopping experience for those that come into store. So we don't want to shrink it down so far that you don't get that actual experience. And we know that touch and feel is important to customers. So it's more about leaving them about where they are and that 1,800 metres being about the sweet spot. And as we all know, you know, no two stores are exactly the same. But then as we introduce additional ranges, we won't sit here thinking like a bit dissimilar to the Adairs. I mean, Adairs, we're thinking about upsize really matters, but that's because we started in a smaller footprint. Focus, we're sort of starting with where we think the brand ends, and we'll add other ranges in over time.
Cool. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time, and that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.